We look for light, but all is darkness. Like the blind, we grope along the wall. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. Darkness can be terrifying, and one of the things it steals us of our joy. When I was a kid growing up, we lived out in the country in a big place, and my brother, who was older than me, always had some interesting and great ideas. One was there was a pack of wolves that was on our place further off in the distance, and he had the great idea that we would start shooting at those wolves. And so that's what we did. Well, of course, they started coming towards us, chasing us, and so we hightailed it back to the house, ran back, and we hit that house so hard, slammed the door, that the house shook. And later that night, I had a dream. And I was all alone in the house, and it was utter darkness. And a wolf was creeping into that house. I was up against the wall, and I could see and hear and smell the wolf and his breath. My brother noticed that I was so scared that I stopped breathing in the middle of my sleep, and so he woke me up. I still remember that dream. All of us need light. We need light to break through the darkness, and we need light to bring us joy in our lives. And one of the things that I so much love about this time of year is the incredible joy that is possible during this time. And I love the music, and I love the lights, and I love the laughter, and I love the joy. Recently, we returned from being overseas doing mission work, and we were driving along our street for the first time since we'd gotten back, and we noticed that all the streets were lit up. All the houses along the street were lit up with lights, except for ours. Our house really stood out in a negative kind of way. You notice light when it is missing. Christmas is indeed a great holiday. In fact, it's my favorite holiday, my favorite time of year. And Christmas is so great that there's even a Christmas in July. Now, that's probably due to some commercialization of Christmas, but it's almost like we need the joy of Christmas to get through all the rest of the year. And if we need that music and light and laughter today and that joy, it was also very much needed during the time of Isaiah, who spoke these words some 2,000 years ago or more. Isaiah was likely speaking to people who were returning from Jerusalem or had returned from Jerusalem, from Babylonian exile into Jerusalem, and these people there are now living in the promised land, and yet they seem to not have gotten the message that they were supposed to be living life differently than they had lived before. And even though they are returning home or have returned home, they are living in utter darkness. For righteousness and justice and truth are nowhere to be found. And the music of that time, if there was any, wasn't very joyful, but was dark and sinister, and the music of the night. In the first century world, the time in which Jesus was born, that world too was filled with darkness. Before Christ came into the world and before John the Baptist was born, Israel had not had a recognized prophet for more than 400 years. That was a long time to not hear from God and to be living in the dark. Recently, we were blessed to go to Iceland on a trip to film a new series, meet with some church leaders, and Iceland is an amazing country. It's unlike any place that I've ever been or seen. There are waterfalls, and there are geysers, and there are black sand beaches. It both looks primordial, as if it was just recently formed out of the ground, as well as futuristic, with things like diamond beaches, which look like they're straight out of a fantasy film, or perhaps the new heaven and the new earth. And Iceland is called the land of fire and ice. The fire, of course, comes from the volcanoes that erupt out of the ground and cool and form the lava and the black sand and the black beaches. But the ice comes from not just the cold that is there, but from the massive glaciers that cover the land. And underneath these glaciers, many of them are incredibly beautiful crystal caves. The top of the glaciers are covered with black ice. And this black ice only lets in the colors of blue and green. And so this light shines down through these caves and lights up the cave with a symphony of color. It is incredibly beautiful. Iceland is a land of fire and ice. It's a land of contrasts. And one of the contrasts is it is a land of both darkness and light. The summers in Iceland are pretty amazing. They go on and on forever because Iceland's so far up in the north of the hemisphere. There is up to 24 hours of sunlight. And there's what's called the midnight sun. If you can imagine, at midnight, the sun still being out. It must be great for kids because they never have to go to bed because there's 24 hours of sunlight. But the winters in Iceland are dark. And in fact, on Christmas Day, the sun rises at noon and sets around 3 o'clock p.m. If you can just imagine getting up in the morning and it's dark, going to work or school and it's dark, coming home from work or school and it's dark, it must affect how you think and how you act and how you live. And it reminds me of Isaiah's words that though it is midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. And if the winters are dark, so too are so many of the Icelandic stories. In one story, there are two famous Icelandic outlaws, a husband and wife type of Bonnie and Clyde team, and they are running from the authorities. And the wife, who is also a mother, has an infant child, and she's there before a waterfall, and she's singing a dark lullaby to her child about basically how death is about to come. And ironically, this lullaby is a famous lullaby that's still sung across Iceland. And in an act of desperation, fleeing from the authorities, she throws the child into the waterfall. Dark stories are found throughout Icelandic literature, even in their Christmas stories. Iceland has a story of the evil giantess Grýla, who finds children who are not behaving well, and rather than getting a lump of coal, she scoops them up, puts them in a kettle, and eats them. Grýla lives in a cave with her lazy troll husband and a giant Christmas cat. Now, there are two types of people in the world. There are dog people and there are cat people. Raise your hand if you're a dog person. Wonderful. You're all going to heaven, straight to heaven. The rest of you, well, in this case, you don't want to be a cat person because this Christmas cat goes around on Christmas Day and finds children who do not have on new clothes and eats them. This was apparently told to motivate kids to be really good, I guess, at knitting and making clothes so that when Christmas came, when the winter came, they would have the clothes that they needed to get through the winter. But it makes me ask the question, what about the poor children? These stories, many times as they're told today, you can find comic books, and they kind of make them a little softer and gentler, but actually, these are horrible stories. And so many parents not only tell it kind of as fun stories, like maybe we might tell some other kinds of stories this time of year, but as real stories, that Grýla actually exists, and they will come, she will come and eat you if you don't behave. In fact, one of our tour guides, when we were touring this crystal cave, she asked about what we were doing, and so we shared filling stories about the Bible and about stories of faith and interesting stories from around the world. And she said, yeah, she knew about this Christmas story. She said, I know all about Grýla. She said that she grew up terrified, scared to death that Grýla was going to come and eat her. In fact, she later had like real psychological problems from this. Then she said, but of course, I'll tell these same stories to my kids. Everyone has to go through it. And so the cycle and the dysfunction is passed down from generation to generation. These dark stories come partly from the physical darkness that's in that land, but also from Iceland's pre-Christian past, from paganism. Because we see that a world without Christ, the world before Christ, and a world without Christ is indeed a dark and terrifying place. It's a world without justice, a world without righteousness, a world without truth, and certainly a world without joy. And as our world moves further and further away from God, we can see this darkness spreading in our schools, in our institutions, in our literature, and in our culture. Are you bothered by what you read about and see and hear in the news today? I am. We live in Loudoun County. It's been in the news. You may have heard about it. Or maybe you live in Fairfax County or any number of counties across our nation, because we see that our culture and our country in so many ways is moving further and further away from God. We're having to have discussions with our children and our grandchildren about things that we never thought we'd actually have to talk about. This was the world of Isaiah's time. And Isaiah said that the Lord at that time was appalled that there was no one to intervene, no one to stand up for truth and righteousness and justice and goodness. But it says that the Lord decided to do something about it. There was no one who could or would save his people. So it says that the Lord by his own arm achieved salvation. And he says, from the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. And note this language. And from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. And the Redeemer will come to Zion. It is a message of hope, a message of joy that will come when God himself decides to be the Savior of the world. It was a promise that God made to his people who were living in darkness, that Christ Messiah would come to Zion, come to Jerusalem, and there bring light to the world and save it and fill it with joy. And people had heard about this promise for hundreds of years. But in the opening chapters of the book of Luke, we see something amazing start to happen. God is at long last fulfilling his promise. The story begins with an angel appearing to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, telling them that something incredible is going to happen, that Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age, so much like who? Abraham and Sarah. These stories that they'd read about God being alive and at work in the world as children themselves, surely now God is going to bring this same type of story alive in their life. And Elizabeth is going to have a child. And this child would be John the Baptist, who would be the first recognized prophet in Israel in more than 400 years. And his role was to lead people back to God, out of darkness into light, and to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. An angel then appears to Mary and tells her that she's going to have a child through the Holy Spirit. This child, of course, is going to be Jesus, who will be the Savior of the world. And then Mary hurries to go see Elizabeth. And when she goes, it says that the child in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, he leaps when he hears the voice of Mary, who will be the mother of the Savior of the world. Mary sings her song. And then Zechariah sings his type of praise or song as well. And note the language that is used in this song, which is the very language of the prophet Isaiah. Luke chapter 1, verse 68 says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because," note this, "he has come to his people, just like he has promised, and he has redeemed them The rising sun will come to us from heaven to, note this, shine on those living in darkness. My friends, Jesus Christ is this light of the world who has come down from heaven to show us the light and to bring us joy. And if you look in these birth accounts, we see that light and joy is so much a part of these stories. The wise men, when they come to visit Jesus, what do they follow? The light of a star. We see that when the angel appears to the shepherds in the field, that the glory of the Lord shone. There was light and there was singing with joy. And if we think that the world that we are in today is tough and needs a little light and a little laughter and a little joy, I'm not sure it compares at all to the world of the first century. Because in that time, there was incredible darkness, and Christ had not yet appeared to illuminate the world in the same way that we know him today. Now, sure, the people of that time probably weren't getting 50 calls a day from people that want to help you extend your car warranty. I can't tell you how many of those calls I've gotten. That, we have to say, is the worst. That and standing in the line at the DMV. But it was bad in the first century. The Roman emperors were worshipped as gods. We see that women, unfortunately, were viewed as nothing. And children may not have been thrown into waterfalls, but they were put out on the Roman walls and abandoned, and no one called CPS. There was no such thing. There was no one to raise a voice or an outcry. And Jesus appeared in that time in which there was so much darkness. He grew up in Nazareth, which, as a Jew in a poor, despised area, he would have faced the darkness of discrimination and racism and hatred. But after Jesus was baptized, Matthew tells us that he left Nazareth and he went and he lived in Capernaum, a town right there on the Sea of Galilee. And this area was called the Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles is kind of a churchy word. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it, right? Do you know what Gentiles were? They were pagans. They were people who did not know God, everyone who was not a Jew. And in that time, this meant that they worshipped other gods. They had different ethics, different values. And so this was a place that was filled with darkness. You probably wouldn't have wanted to send your children to the schools in this county. It was a place with dark stories, dark beliefs. And yes, even dark demonic activity. But Jesus moving to this area, note this, was not accidental. It was not an accident, but was something that was prophesied by Isaiah and was part of the plan of God. In fact, Matthew quotes Isaiah saying, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light." What's he referring to? It's when Jesus moved into that town, when he moved into that neighborhood, he began to shed light of God upon the entire area and eventually to the entire world. And Jesus was a light to that area in so many different ways. First of all, through his healing. Do you know that there are more recorded miracles of Jesus healing people and doing miracles in Capernaum than any other town? There he cast out demons. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed a paralytic and a woman who was bleeding. And he even raised a little girl from the dead. This was spiritual warfare that Jesus was fighting. In fact, there were even demons that were entering into the synagogue, but they had no power over Jesus Christ. Jesus was a light not only through his teaching, but also through his healing, but also through his teaching. We see that as he was there in this town and in this area, that he begins to preach and teach about the kingdom of God. And the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, do you know, it was given right there. It's not along this Galilee of the Gentiles, right near the town of Capernaum. And there Jesus would talk about God's love and his goodness and how he called us to live and be a different kind of people. And Jesus gathered up children, not to eat them, but because he loved them, he cared for them, and because he valued them. And ultimately, Jesus was a light to this area, not only through his healings, not only through his teaching, but ultimately by going to the cross, by going to Jerusalem, by going to Zion there to give up his life for each and every one of us. And it is our job and our duty and our privilege and our honor to share this light with everyone that we know. Jesus was and is the light from heaven who suddenly burst into the world, dispelling darkness, giving hope and healing and joy to all. And for us, we have been told by Christ on the Sermon on the Mount, preached so many years ago, that we are the light of the world. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city or town on a hill cannot be hidden." Today, Christians and churches are taken for granted. Often we are mocked, despised, made fun of. But never forget that it was Christians following the example of Christ who brought so much goodness and light and joy into the world. It was Christians who followed Christ's examples and valued children, rescued babies, started orphanages, took care of the mentally ill, started hospitals and universities, composed great works of art, and so much more. And it was Christians who began to tell people a better and brighter story, lifting them out of fear and out of darkness by giving them hope in Jesus Christ, who conquered evil and darkness and every dark force on the cross. And we are called by Christ to be that same kind of light today, to be the light of the world, to be the music that breaks through the darkness with laughter and light. For we are the people of the dawn. Sometimes life is hard. As has been mentioned, it's been a hard year. It's been a hard 2 years. And sometimes we need to be reminded of how God is alive and active and at work in the world. One of the things that I very much wanted to see in Iceland was the Northern Lights. The Northern Lights are visible only during the winter months in Iceland. So we were there during the wintertime. It was cold. But one of the benefits, kept telling the family, is that, hey, we're going to get to see the Northern Lights. Now, the best time to see the Northern Lights is about like 1 or 2 a.m., of course, in the very late evening. And so we went out to a secluded place and stayed up trying to see these lights, and every time we struck out. And it was very frustrating because the next day we'd see people posting pictures about how they saw the lights, you know, an hour later or just in a slightly different place. But, you know, we had lots of things to do. It was losing sleep. I'm like, forget it. We're just not going to see the Northern Lights. But one of the last days that we were there, was driving to the airport with one of our team members, and he spotted the Northern Lights. And so we got out of the car, and there we could see them. They looked like shimmering clouds, sometimes green, sometimes white. God's beauty in the sky. And I began taking pictures and little videos on my iPhone. And I sent them to my wife. And she said, "Oh, I do not like you. You're seeing the Northern Lights? We've been waiting and trying to see this all this time." But then she saw them. And the girls saw them. And it was okay. We need to remind one another that God is indeed alive and active and at work in the world today. And sometimes that's how God works. That when all seems lost and dark and lonely, God reaches out and he does something amazing, something unexpected. And that's what happened 2,000 years ago. That's why there was such incredible joy when this light appeared, because people weren't looking for it. They had given up almost on God doing something in the world, but God kept his promises. And my friends, God will always keep his promises. And if we will look for the light, we can see it and we can find it, and it will bring us such great joy. And I'm here to tell you that God is alive and at work and active today. God's not surprised by COVID. He's not wringing his hands. I just wonder, what am I going to do now? God knows what's happening. God is at work in the world. I don't know his plan, but I know he's alive and at work, and he is doing something. And he's doing things all around the world. And I'll just tell you, I've seen so many ways that God has been at work over these last year, these last 2 years, just in this last trip. In the UK, there were 160 people that came out. They wanted to learn more about how to tell God's story. And they began sharing this story with their friends, including people in South Africa, which is what happened right after that. We heard news about something happened in South Africa. But my friends, God's at work in South Africa. We've seen over in Kenya, number of people come to faith in Christ. In fact, this last Sunday, there were two more that were baptized. That makes 21 for this year for these online studies that so many of you have helped out with and have been a part of that. We praise God for that. During this time, God has been continued to be at work and reaching people for him. And over in Croatia, where we've been blessed to spend about 7 months or so over the last year, we've seen so many people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Old men and women, young men and women, and everyone in between. And there are so many wonderful stories I'd love to share with you, but I want to share with you one to end with, and that is the story of Misho. Misho, who's a 65-year-old man who decided that he wanted to place his faith in Jesus Christ. Remember Zechariah and Elizabeth and how God intervened at their age. But Misho is a man who is filled with such joy. He's kind of a crazy, fun-loving guy. In fact, we call him Croatian Kramer because he's a little bit crazy, but he's also filled with great joy. And so if we can, let's watch this short video to see how Misho came to know the light of Jesus Christ.
Znači, kupili smo se da budemo svjedoci Mišinog krštenja.
We have gathered here to be witnesses of Miša's baptism.
Mišo je s nama jer je eto njegova unuka počela pohađati radionice za djecu.
His granddaughter started to come to our workshops for children.
I Mišo, koji je sada dio naše crkve, je unio puno radosti u našu crkvu.
And Misho, who is now part of our church, brought us a lot of joy.
Mišo, evo pitamo te pred svjedocima, da li zaista vjeruješ da je Isus Božji sin i da je umro na križu za tvoje grijehe?
Naravno, vjerujem.
Da li...
Do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? I do.
Da li prihvaćaš tu žrtvu na križu?
I do.
Do you receive his sacrifice on the cross? I do.
Miša bi nam htio reći dvije, tri riječi svog srca.
Od uvijek sam osjećao da sam povezan nekako sa Bogom.
I have always felt a connection to God.
Ali nisam to razumio u potpunosti.
I did not understand it completely.
Tek kad sam došao u ovu našu Kristovu crkvu,
but when I came to our Church of Christ,
shvatio sam u čemu je bit.
I realized what is really important.
I zato mislim da je to moja želja iz srca.
And this is the desire of my heart.
Iako imam sada još za malo 65 godina, tek sam sada shvatio.
Koliko godina?
65.
65.
And at this age I am almost 65 and just now I have understood.
Mišo, na temelju ispovjedanja tvoje vjere, ja te krstim u ime Oca i Sina i Duha Svetoga.
Fill you with joy, I don't know what will. My friends, Jesus Christ is alive and at work today. And if we will share this light with the world, it will bring us great joy. Thank you so much for your love, your friendship, your support, your faithfulness to God. We're so grateful for you and pray that all of us together can be filled with joy this season and bring joy to others by sharing Christ with a lost and broken world that so desperately needs him. And now, if you would, sing with me one of my favorite Christmas songs, songs from this time of year, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Y'all sing this with me, one verse. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds camp there watching, O silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.